Isaiah 62, verse 4. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, for you shall be called Hephzibah. Means, I like you. I like you. And your land, Buluah. Means, I will marry you. I am going to marry you. I'm your bridegroom. Verse 5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoices over you. Bridegroom. He will return as a bridegroom. Isaiah 63. Tell me that Isaiah 63. I'm going to just read all six verses. Isaiah 63 is about Jesus returning as a warring and a conquering king. He's going to wage a war. He is going to wage a war. This is a powerful chapter. You know, we always talk about it as Jesus comes with a red garment. You know why red garment? His garment is soaked with blood. Not the blood that he redeemed us. The blood of the nation. Because he just crushed nations. That's why the watchman asked two profound questions. Who is this coming from Eden? And why is your garment red? Because he just fought a war. He just fought a war. Let me just read through Isaiah 63, verse 1. Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this who comes from Edom? Because he's going to come from Jordan and march all the way up. Who is this who comes from Edom? No, because it's a watch in the context of God put watchmen on the wall, you know, watchmen, they are looking, then suddenly, oh, there is this king, and so on. Okay, now, no time to elaborate this watchman thing. Who is this who comes from the Edom with dyed garments from Bosra? Okay, Bosra is one of the cities in the modern-day Jordan. Okay, this one who is glorious in apron, traveling in the greatness of his strength. They ask, who is this? Who are you? Because they saw him coming, yet his garment is red. So they're trying to clarify and ask a question. Watchmen ask, who are you? Who are you? That's where Jesus replied. He's a messianic redeemer, king who is returning from a war. That's why he used the term the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is a term of Jesus where he just fought a battle. Okay. He said this, I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. When he say that, they know who he is. For the Jewish people, they know who he is. It's their Messiah who is returning as a king. Do you know why? When Jesus came for the first time, the Jewish people cannot accept him because their understanding of the Messiah who returned is victorious king. When they see this Jesus is weak and so on, if you turn Isaiah 53, went to the cross, no, this is not our Messiah. Our Messiah is supposed to deliver us from the Gentile domination because all this scripture, just like they can, they have no greed. They don't understand at all. That's why we rejected Jesus because, no, this is not. We are still waiting for the one that is victorious. For the one that is victorious. Verse 2, second question. Jesus as judge. Second question. Why your apron or garment is red? Why your garment is red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? Is using an illustration because in the Old Testament, treading in the winepress is understanding is like judgment. Judgment, because even, you know, I don't know whether they still make wine this way, you know, wine that this wine press thing, they put a lot of grapes inside. Especially red wine, you use red grapes, like, right, Annabelle? Huh? Whatever, never mind. That wine press. So they'll step, they'll crush. And you know, it's an illustration that when God crushed nation, it will be easy. It'll be effortless. So when you crush, it will spill all over your garment. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Why is your apron red and your garment like one who treads in the wine press? Listen to his reply. I have trodden the wine press alone. And from the people, talking about his people, no one was with me. For I am trodden in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garment. It's for sure. The garment, the blood on the garment is not his blood, but it's the blood of the nations that he has crushed. And I have stained all my robe. Verse 4. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart. and the days of my redeem has come. Listen to verse 5. That's why we need to understand, because the Lord is looking for us to understand so that we will agree with Him in prayer, partner with Him instead of resisting Him. If you don't understand Him as the King, come back fighting a war, we will resist Him. Because now our understanding of Jesus as King is still a bit off. We don't realize that this man is going to fight a war. He is going to. Listen to verse 5. I look, there was no one to help me, and I wonder. Because he said, how come no one understand? And there was no one to uphold. It's the same verb, same word that the Bible used in Exodus 17, verse 8 to 15, Aaron and Hur lift up Moses' right hand and left hand as like a prayer to as Joshua waged a war down at the hill as he fought with Amalekite. It's the same that God, Jesus, is looking for the church to understand, to intercede, to agree with Him in prayer, but He found none. Because no one lifted up his hand. No one. That's why we pray. That's why we are developing understanding. Our understanding of prayer is very simple. Agreeing with the heart and the plan of God. That's why we teach the Bible, we pray from the Bible, because we want to be sure that it's in accordance with the heart of God. There will come a time. That's why we need to understand Him as the King. He said this, therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I'm trodden down the peoples in my anger, make them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. He's the King. One more. I'll give you a few. Psalms 2. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms 2. There are a lot of scripture that talks, especially end time prophecy, talk about Jesus as the bridegroom, king, and judge. Turn with me to Psalms 2. Psalms 2. Another one of the great Messianic Psalms. I believe one of the greatest Psalms written by David. There are a few of which I think is great. One, Psalms 145, Psalms 2, Psalms 27. Okay, I'm just going to dwell on verse 10 to 12 because I have no time. Basically, if I understand this Psalm, it's based, David has a powerful picture of what is going to happen at the end of the age, where verse 1 to 3, he saw that final battle between nations against God. And then verse 4 to 5, God the Father spoke to heaven about what is His plan. And then verse 7 to 9 is Jesus coming before God the Father to intercede. Okay, it's called the mystery of intercessions. And as a result of that, David, I can imagine he was trembling. He must be saying, wow, this is intense, man. Oh God, this is intense. And he gave a powerful exhortation to the end time generation to cultivate understanding of who this Jesus is as a bridegroom, king, and judge. Let me read from verse 9. I'm going to talk about this during the call, because I tell you this is a powerful passage. Verse 10. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Wise about what? Be instructed about what? The message is basically cultivate understanding of this tree revelation of who Jesus is when He's about to return. He's the King, He's the judge, He's the bridegroom. Where do I see that? He said this, serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with fear. He is your King. He's about to return. We will serve Him with, because you know why we will serve Him with fear? Because He's an awesome King. All authority in heaven and earth will be given to this man. He will be an awesome King. So serve Him with fear. You know, that's why we talk about teaching people to surrender our life. You know, Jesus doesn't want commitment. You know, we all got it wrong. He does not want commitment. He wants us to surrender. So people ask, Kichong, how much commitment must I give? Say, no. God doesn't want your commitment. He wants your surrender. He wants all. He wants all because He's a King. Yeah, I know. People say, I didn't know what I'm getting into. No, He's a good King, okay? He's not a dictator. He's not Stalin. He's not Kim Jong-il. He's not whatever. Okay, He's a good King. I happen to be your bridegroom. That's how I tell people, you know. Don't worry, you know, you think of applying a new job, join this company called KOG, okay? The COE is very good one. You know, he talks to you all the time. CEO is very good one. He talks to you all the time. No, you got any problem, talk to him. He give you all the answer. No money, you pray. He provide for your ministry and so on. And where got such good CEO? Talk to you all the time, man. Yeah, you need him, he's here and never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. No. Yeah, so never mind. Serve the Lord with fear. He's the King. He's the King. Next one. Rejoice with trembling. No, I know many people always say, how can you see this as a... You know, that's where we don't understand. How can we still rejoice while judgment is issued? You know why? We don't understand judgment. Judgment is to remove every oppression, remove everything that hinders love. That's why even you understand that, you can agree, even though you're trembling because you know that, wow, this is devastating. This is crazy. This is you. Turn to me to Psalms 98. I tell you, when I run through all some of these end time psalms or even Joel 2, then you realize a lot of songs we sing, we don't really understand what we are singing. You know, like this song, Blow the Trumpet. Last time we used to sing this song, Blow the Trumpet in Zion. Do you all remember this song? Those my era one will remember. You all remember, don't bluff. Now, okay? Anne should remember. And she'll remember, and so on. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sounding alarm in the holy mountain. That's the judgment song. So now, maybe you should sing, Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Because judgment, no, never mind. Turn to me, Psalms 98. So why rejoice? Because justice is about to come. Jesus is about to remove every oppression. He's going to bring forth perfect justice here on earth. Turn to me to Psalms 98. Psalms 98. Remember we sing this song, The Trees of the Hill Will Clap Their Hands, Let the Sea Resound. You know what song is this? This is about a judgment song. Judgment. We're supposed to celebrate. You know, say, how can we celebrate? You know, it's because we don't understand. Because our mind is not renewed. We still think like the world think. When we begin to be agreement with the heart of God, they say, yes, I celebrate because finally there's this judge who is coming, going to bring forth perfect justice. How do you bring forth perfect justice? You got to eradicate oppression, isn't it? You remove evil, isn't it? So what does that mean? There'll be a great shaking and so on. Yeah. Let me read verse 7. Go and read on your own. Psalms 98, let me read from verse 4. Verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. You know, it's like for a moment you thought, wow, it's very happy, you know, wow, whatever, you know, very shook, whatever. It's verse 5. Sing to the Lord with the harp, and the sound of the psalms, with trumpets and the sound of horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Listen to verse 7. I know this song, Let the Sea Roar, Let the Seven, whatever, I can't remember this song. This song is so old, I can't remember. Let the sea roar and all his fullness, the world and those who dwell in it, let the river clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Listen to verse 9. For he is coming to what? Judge the earth. He's coming to judge the earth with righteousness. Thank God he's judging with righteousness. With righteousness, he shall judge the world and people with equity. Trust me, it'll be bloody. It will be. We talked about it last Sunday. Some of you, if you are a judge, you know, Jesus will appoint judge. You may be judging some other people. Wow. Turn back, Psalms 2. Psalms 2, last one. Psalms 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son. You know why kiss the Son? Intimacy. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. One more Psalm. Tell me Psalms 45. Psalms 45. Oh, 9 o'clock maybe. Goodness. Psalms 45. Again, one of the great psalms of love. Do you know Psalms 45 is a mini version of a Song of Song? Great psalms of love. Okay, mini version of Song of Song. Verse 1 to 9 actually describe the coming Messiah, that's Jesus, as a bridegroom, king, and judge. Okay, let me just read briefly. I love this song. I love this psalm. And there's this song by, what's his kind of name? Ryan Kondo. Why? Never mind. Doesn't matter. Okay. Listen, verse 1. My heart is overflowing with the good team. You know why? It's overwhelmed on this wedding day. Both wedding day and a day of war. My heart is overwhelmed with a good team. I recite my composition concerning the king. That means you have to declare of who this Jesus is. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Verse 2. Okay, verse 2. That's where the song comes from. You are more than a... Verse 2. You are fairer than the sons of men. Okay, revelation of the beauty of Jesus as a bridegroom. You are fairer than the sons of men. Transcendent beauty of this bridegroom who is about to return. Because you read from verse 10, it talks about the bride. He's going to marry the bride. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Verse 3, suddenly there's a transition. Now he's talking about a warrior king. He's coming back to wage a war. Gird your sword upon, that's where the song is. Gird your sword upon your hand, D1, whatever. Yeah, I thought Annabelle used to sing that song, right? Yeah, never mind. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one. Revelation of Jesus as the warring king when he returned. With your glory, with your majesty, in your majesty, right, victoriously, he will rule and reign based on truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand will teach you awesome things. Verse 5, your arrows are sharp in the heart of kings' enemies. The people falls under you because there's going to be a great battle. He will fight. He will return as a warrior king. Let me go to verse 6. Suddenly there's going to be change again. Now he's talking about he's going to be a judge. Your throne, as both the king and the judge will sit on the throne. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Listen to verse 7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness, the righteous judge. Therefore, God... your God has appointed you. It's kind of amazing, you know, God appoint God. Because Jesus is God. God appoint God. You know. Therefore, God, your God, has appointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and alloys and cassia. Out of the ivory, talking about there will be a bride that come forth. Out of the ivory palaces by which they are made of gold, king's daughter among your honorable women. There'll be the bride that will arrive. Last one. Turn me to Revelation 19. I really have no time. Go and take the last 15 minutes. Get us to pray as we are in this 10-day fast. Revelation 19. Turn me to Revelation 19. Yeah, I thought I want to focus a little bit on this passage, but I don't think I have time. Revelation 19. Verse 1, all the way to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, is one of the probably most significant passage of Scripture pertaining to second coming. Okay, write this out again. Revelation 19, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Isn't it amazing? The Bible actually ends by revealing who Jesus is as a bridegroom, king, and judge. Yeah, powerful. All three revelations are important because it reveals the personality, the heart, the plan, the ministry of Jesus when he returned. This is the most significant passage of Scripture pertaining to second coming because he both talked about the event as well as the person. Event and person. Because if you read through this entire passage of Scripture, it's about, if I'm not wrong, it's 27 verses. Centered around three events. And these three events also reveal about the person who is about to return, the clearest and most complete picture of Jesus as a bridegroom, king, and judge. We need to know this. I'm very sure. I can guarantee. If I'm wrong, I buy. No, better. No, we all make mistakes. I'm sure, Matt, if you talk about Jesus as bridegroom, king, and judge, you'll use Revelation 19 at least. Or Psalms 45. This is vital, essential passage of Scripture for the end time church to know who Jesus. This passage of Scripture actually answered the question of Matthew 16 verse 5. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus. It breaks into three sections, highlighting three events at the end of the age. And all three set the context of Jesus' return, as well as reveal who he is when he returns. I'm going to go quickly, because now I way past my time. Revelation 19, verse 1 to 10, is about a wedding. Revelation 19, verse 1 to 10, is about a wedding. He is coming back for a wedding because he is a passionate bridegroom. He is a passionate bridegroom. Do you know that he did not just pay for the bride with his own blood? That's his first coming. He also personally preparing the bride. That's Ephesians 5, verse 27. He's the one who will cherish. I tell you what, you know, we all use the wrong word. Really, I kind of like, oh, awesome, because that, I mean, who else will you marry? Do everything for you, pay for you, prepare you. He's coming back to host a wedding. Wow. I mean, wow, this one, she'll marry one. I don't even need to. I say yes. Okay. That's what it is. Revelation 19, verse 1 to 10 is about a wedding. Revelation 11 to verse 21. Revelation 11 to verse 21. He's coming back to wage a war. It's about a war. Go and read carefully. It's about a war. It will be a huge war because he's returning as a victorious and a warring king. He will defeat Antichrist. He will crush all rebellious nations, and then he will establish his kingdom. Okay, I have no time to read through the verses. Go and read. It's huge. Just one verse. Verse 11. Revelation 19. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. He will judge. He will fight a battle. Okay, verse 11 to verse 21 is about the war. Chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. Chapter 20. Verse 1 to 6 is about a judgment. It's about the judgment. He is returning to judge nations because he is the righteous judge. He's returning to judge nations. A few things he's going to do. He's going to put Satan into prison. Believers and nations will be judged. That's Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and 32. And believers will be judged. We'll be given rewards. We'll be given crowns, garment, so on and so on. 27 verses full of glory, drama. Human history will end with these three events. Huge. But you see, everything centered around who this Jesus is. He is the bridegroom. He is the king. He is the judge. And we have to understand. That's why it's so vital. One verse, finish. Then let's turn to Psalms 2. I'm going to end with this. Psalms 2. That's what I want to get us to pray. Psalms 2. Psalms 2. Psalms 2. Verse 10. I believe this is the most important exhortation for the end of the age. Be instructed. No, be wise. Now therefore, be wise, O King. Be instructed, ruler of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Cultivate understanding. No, it's going to provide. No, no, this is not just doing Bible study. No, this is not about Bible study. This is about knowing in your heart with certainty, convictions, intimacy. You know, Jesus is the bridegroom, king, and judge. Who is this Jesus? He is my bridegroom. I love him because he loved me. He has a burning desire for me. Who is this Jesus? He is the king. He is my king. I agree. This earth belongs to him. I say yes. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. Even this ministry is his because he's the king. He's the judge. I agree with judgment, God. I agree. I agree with the seal. I agree with the trumpets. I agree with the bowl judgment. No, don't pray now, okay? Not yet. Now we pray mercy. Mercy triumph over judgment. But I agree. Cultivate understanding. That's why the verse said this, kiss the son lest you shall be, no, lest he be angry. Do you know why? If you don't cultivate the understanding of him as a bridegroom, king, and judge, when this whole judgment begins to happen, your heart is going to be offended. You're going to resist him. That's why he will be angry. It's just like Isaiah 6. Not that he's angry in the sense, you understand what I'm talking about? Not angry because he's angry because you doesn't agree him that you will resist him, you will oppose him. As a result, he may have to remove that hindrance in your heart. That's why we need to understand, kiss the son, lest he be angry. Kiss the son. And David ends with this. Remember I said last week, one of the key things to cultivate in the last days is confidence. When you know the Lord as a bridegroom, king, and judge, confidence will arise. That's why David ends with this statement. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Or you can put it in that way. Blessed are those who have confidence in him. Blessed are those who have confidence in him. Amen.